From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, A Picture of a Christ-Centered Life, part of this series of studies in the Book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Condition of Blessing. The text is Malachi 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Many read and plead this promise without noticing the condition upon which the blessing is promised. We cannot expect heaven to be opened or blessing poured out unless we pay our dues unto the Lord our God and to His cause. There would be no lack of funds for holy purposes if all professing Christians paid their fair share. Many are poor because they rob God. Many churches also miss the visitations of the Spirit because they starve their ministers. If there is no temporal meat for God's servants, we need not wonder if their ministry has but little food in it for our souls. When missions pine for means, and the work of the Lord is hindered by an empty treasury, how can we look for a large amount of soul prosperity? Come, come, what have I given of late? Have I been mean to my God? Have I stinted my Savior? This will never do. Let me give my Lord Jesus His tithe by helping the poor and aiding His work, and then I shall prove His power to bless me on a large scale.
Master, Thou callest, I gladly obey. Only direct me, and I'll find Thy way. Teach me the mission appointed for me. What is my labor, and where it shall be? Master, and this I reply, ready and willing, Lord, here am I.
Willing, my Savior, to take up the cross,
willing to suffer reproaches and loss, willing to follow if Thou wilt but lead. Only support me with grace in my need. Master, Thou callest, and this I reply, ready and willing, Lord, here. still would be thine. Yet I am mortal, while thou art divine. Pardon whenever I turn from the right. Pity and bring me again to the light. Master, thou callest, and this I reply. Ready and willing, Lord, here am I.
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns turns to Joshua chapter 18 and verse 1. With the land of promise now subdued, the children of Israel gathered at Shiloh, where they set up the tabernacle. Thus Shiloh became the center of the nation's spiritual life. It was there that the annual feasts were held, where the sacrifices to God were offered, where the Day of Atonement was observed. As Dr. Cairns will explain, the tabernacle is the fullest and most perfect type of Christ in the Old Testament scriptures. It was constructed according to the pattern that God gave to Moses. Therefore, it clearly and powerfully sets forth God's pattern for a Christ-centered life. First of all, God commands the lives of his people to be centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, not around material things or even around loved ones. Now, to introduce this message, a picture of a Christ-centered life, here is Dr. Cairns.
We're going to do our Bible reading in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 12, we read the first 14 verses. These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains, and upon the hills, and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars, and break their pillars, and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither shall ye come. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings, and your sacrifices, and your tithes, and heave offerings of your hand, and your vows and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herd and of your flocks. And there shall ye eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Ye shall not do after all the things that ye do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. But when ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, ye and your sons and your daughters, and your men servants and your maid servants, and the Levite that is within your gates, forasmuch as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to thyself, that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes, there thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious word for his name's sake. As we continue our studies in Joshua, the text to which I would direct your attention this morning is in the 18th chapter and in the first verse. Joshua chapter 18 and verse 1. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. The whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. It was in direct obedience to the express command of the Lord that Joshua convened the assembly of which our text speaks. We have just been reading in the 12th chapter of Deuteronomy, in which we have the record of the Lord's command to and through Moses concerning that time when Israel would finally enter into the land of their possession, when the land would be generally at rest and in the place of the Lord's choice, the nation would be obliged to raise the tabernacle and set it in its peculiar and permanent place. Now, the erection of the tabernacle was intended to be an occasion of great spiritual significance to the nation. It was raised at a place aptly named Shiloh. The land had rest, and Shiloh as a name is one that signifies rest, peace, or tranquility. And from this point, Shiloh was the focal point in the national life. Shiloh was ideal for the purpose. It was centrally situated in the midst of the entire inheritance of Israel, and therefore it was easily accessible to all. It was to Shiloh that the tribes would come for the three great yearly feasts, so that there would be these great national gatherings at Shiloh. It was to Shiloh that individuals would come, bringing their sacrifices, their heave offerings, their vows, and all the other sacrifices that marked the Levitical system. Here in Shiloh, the priests would offer a continual stream of blood sacrifices, morning and evening, and indeed throughout the day. And of course, it was at Shiloh, on the solemn Day of Atonement, that the high priest would offer up the sin offering for the nation and intercede for his people. So the erection of the tabernacle was an occasion when the entire congregation came together, because it was clearly recognized that this was an occasion of great spiritual significance. The erection of the tabernacle was also a powerful statement of faith by the children of Israel. More than that, it was additionally a pledge of fidelity to the Lord who had given them the land. It was a pledge that they would be faithful to their God, as their God had been faithful unto them. Now, when you think of those reasons why the erection of the tabernacle had such significance to the children of Israel, you will immediately understand that the event is one of enduring significance to the Israel of God. In other words, we have more than mere history here. We have something of real spiritual importance to the people of God to this day. Its significance has never diminished. Think for a moment that the tabernacle presents to us one of the fullest types of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of Scripture. There is a little part of the 29th Psalm which is variously translated. The usual translations say that all in the temple of God will give praise to Him. And that's very true. But as I look at it, I must say I am of the opinion that the alternate translation is actually much closer to what the psalmist had in mind. When he spoke of the temple of God, he says everything in it utters His praise. Or, as it has been sometimes put, every whit utters His glory. Certainly that is true in the tabernacle and later in the temple, as God was very, very careful to give the details of the building of the tabernacle down to the minutest things to Moses, And he told him, remember and be careful that you build everything exactly according to the pattern that was shown you in the mount. When you remember that Paul says that that pattern of the earthly tabernacle is fashioned on the heavenly, and the heavenly tabernacle is a name for the Lord Jesus Christ, you can see what I mean when I say the tabernacle in the wilderness is a God-given type, even down to its finest details, of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will go further. And some people may think that I'm pushing this, but stop and think of what I've said. The Lord gave the pattern. The Lord said, be careful that you observe the very details. The Lord says, this is the pattern of the heavenly tabernacle, namely Christ, his person and his work. And I think you'll see that this is the most perfect type of Christ that you'll find in Scripture. It is certainly the most extended type of Christ that you find in Scripture. John chapter 1 verse 14 tells us of the incarnation. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Holy Spirit chose a beautiful word that is translated dwelt. The Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. So the tabernacle is certainly a type of the Savior. The Savior himself spoke of his body as God's temple. He is the true tabernacle of God. Thus, the erection of the tabernacle by ancient Israel after their entrance into the promised land is a typical representation of Christians exalting and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ as they live out in their experience the great salvation he has given them. Israel's setting of the tabernacle in the midst of their land pictures believers setting the Lord Jesus Christ at the heart of their life and of their witness. This applies on an individual level and also on the level of the church. Another way of putting this is that Joshua 18 verse 1 is an Old Testament way of saying what Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and 14. When he said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. That was Paul's great desire, to glory only in Christ. And that is what is pictured for us in the words of our text in Joshua 18 and verse 1. So today I want us to consider this text. I want us to think of it very simply as a picture of a Christ-centered life. Now, that's a very simple subject, but it's a very important subject. Because, first, we must remember that the Lord commands his people to have and live a Christ-centered life. Remember that we read in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Our text is the fulfillment of that passage. It is Israel's obedience to that divine command. The Lord said, while you're in the wilderness here, you are moving from place to place, and the altar moves along with you, and sacrifices are made in different places. But when you get into the land, I will choose a place. There you will erect the tabernacle. There the altar will be placed. There the sacrifice will be made, and no other place. The Lord explicitly and vehemently prohibited the use of high places or altars in other parts of the land. This is the place of the sacrifice. Now this was the command. And so as soon as Ephraim had taken its possession, Joshua set up the tabernacle. It was interesting, it was after Ephraim did it. People have wondered why that should be. Well, there are various reasons, but the most obvious is that the lot of Ephraim was at the very heart of the national territory of Israel. This was the center of the nation. And so as soon as it was settled, the Lord told Joshua to call the people together and to erect the tabernacle. This was his command. He was saying to them that Israel was not to enter into the land and live either in the fear of the other nations or by the standard of the other nations. Nor was Israel to become a secular nation. She must, as she enjoyed the material wealth that God had given her, she must not be so taken up with the material as to forget the Lord. You know, human nature never changes. There is nothing drives the spiritual out so quickly as the material.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.